coming across at you when you talk about homosexuality and you talk about the marriage bed being undefiled, you're going to have people looking at you. And you're going to have people turning a deaf ear they don't want to hear. The Bible said they want teachers that's talking just like they talk. That they want to hear a message that's just like what they're doing. It's okay to do this. It's okay to do that, but it's not okay. You know, we're supposed to preach this word. This is what we're called to do. You know, preaching is a God-ordained means to prevent defection or desertion from the truth. You know, people are defecting. It's just like in the army, you defect, you get out of there. You know, people are defecting and they are deserting the word of God because they don't want to hear the truth. So they're deserting it. But God has ordained us. And this is the means that he have to prevent people from defecting or desertion from the truth. In other words, God don't want his children to turn from the truth. So preaching is the means that God has given us to keep them going the right way. Amen. So we're going to pick back up with this on Thursday. We'll continue with this lesson. So in the meantime, get your Bible out and start reading. Keep up with us. Amen and amen.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare broadcast with Evangelist Wanda Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wanda Bell, or you can write us at Evangelist Wanda Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Back to this text today that we shared last communion with you, found in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9, 10, and 11. Philippians 2, verse 9, 10, and 11. And I want you to stand and turn. Philippians 2, verses 9, 10, and 11. Reader.
Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Verse 11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Amen. for just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, there's something about the name Jesus. If you don't mind, turn to a neighbor or two and say, neighbor, there's something about the name Jesus. Tell another neighbor that. I need you to help me preach this morning. Now, if you believe that, give him praise. The Apostle Paul said, it is not grievous to me to preach the same thing. It is profitable for you. And as I thought about that, I thought about how we run through the Word of God so quickly, so many times, and never take our time to extract the full meaning from the Word. And then I considered the cow, and the cow eating practices and digestive order. A cow spends about one third of its day, about 8 hours, eating grass and hay and the fruit of the field. And in that, the cow, it is said, works the jaw muscles about 40,000 times a day, chewing up the food to remove from the food as much of the nutrients and beneficial matter from its food. But it doesn't do it just simply in chewing the food. When it moistens the dry hay enough to swallow, it goes to the first compartment of a four-part system of digestion. The first part is where the dry grass is then met with liquids from the digestive system that helps soften the dry grass and causes it to be further broken down into little balls called the cud, C-U-D. When it is thus broken into little balls, it moves to the second chamber, which stores it up and with great muscles pushes it back up to the mouth so that the cow can chew on it again. In other words, the first time it went down, they didn't get all they should have gotten out of it. And so in that process, after it has been moistened, after it has been loosened up, after it has been placed in ball sizes, again, that second chamber kicks it back up to the mouth where it continues to chew and extract more of the elements of benefit to the cow. Then the next time it swallows, it passes chamber one and two and goes to the third chamber. But the third chamber has a different process. It literally extracts all the moisture and the water out of the food that's just been digested. And when it extracts all the water out of the digest, it finally sends it to the stomach in the fourth process, where it finishes the digestive processes, and then it works its way on out the body. I'm trying to tell you that if the cow can take time and process its food, how much more should we take time and process the Word of God? I wish I had a helper in the house today. First of all, this is no new word to the believer. 2 and 5 of Philippians tells us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then verse 6, 7, and 8, deals with the wherefore of verse 9. Because the wherefore talks about the fact of the because of and because of and the why God has done what he's done in that word wherefore. And you will see that in verse 6, verse 7, and verse 8, they explain to you the nature of Jesus, his act of humility, of humbling himself, taking on the form of a servant, and it walks on through how he was humiliated, etc. And then because he humbled himself to the lowest form of humility and went through the greatest form of humiliation, God honored him by exalting him to the highest place that God had to offer. So when it says, wherefore, again, it's explaining why God did this. Because a lot of folk want to be promoted, but they don't want to go through the process. So wherefore God also hath highly exalted who? Him. Man didn't do this. God did this. But God did this after Jesus did what he did. And so that says to us, if we ever expect, because this is a principle, God does not violate his principles. It doesn't matter who practices the principles. They will profit from them if they do that procedurally correct. So that means if you want a promotion for God, do your part. You ain't got to worry about man promoting you. Yes. God is going to be the one who promotes you.
Amen.
And given him a name which is above every name. Now keep in mind, that's why there's so much power in that name. And that's why demons tremble at that name. Because that name is loaded with all the authority, with all the anointing, with all the power, with all the ability, with all of the dunamis, with all of the exousia, with everything that is necessary to make a change. There is no other name that is equipped with all of that power but the name Jesus. So verse 10 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth, and things under the earth. Now let's look at that for a few moments, because I'm not going to be long. We've already started this word. We're just chewing on it a little more. Again, that at the name Jesus, every knee should bow. Another translation more correctly places it, shall bow, because it's talking about the true future tense of all reality. Everything in heaven, everything on earth, everything beneath earth, one day is going to bow at that name Jesus. So here's a helpful holy hint. Get used to it. Learn how to bow now. Humble yourself now. Submit yourself to it. Give yourself to it. Bring yourself beneath that name to follow its instructions and the power thereof. Because when the day comes when every knee will have to do it, you'll already be used to doing it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, let's look at this again. Because, again, every knee should bow of things in heaven. What does that really mean? It literally means that everything in heaven shall be subject. Jot that down if you write notes. Subject to the name Jesus. The 24 elders and all of the high officers, ranking angels, archangels, everyone in heaven is subject to Jesus Christ. Now, verse 6 has already told you that he didn't think it robbery to be equal with God because he's the Son of God. He's already used to this. They know who Jesus is in heaven. They don't have a problem bowing to him, especially because of what God has done through him. And he has done some things that none other in heaven has been able to do. Matter of fact, there was no one else worthy in heaven to come down and do what Jesus did on earth. And because of that, God exalted him above everything and everybody in heaven and made all of them subject to him. To him. God is the king. He's the prince. Just like they honor God, they honor him because God has elevated him to that place. Now remember, he was the Son of God before he left heaven. But he left heaven, came to earth, took on the form of human flesh. And then taking on that human flesh, he took on a very different nature from those things that are heavenly. But then he was restored. He was exalted.
Yes.
When he finished his work at Calvary, above everything in heaven, they are subject to him. Now, of things in earth. Now, here's where I want to take a moment or two just to help us to connect the dots. What does it mean of things in earth? It literally means anything that is a thing has to submit to Jesus. Any person, any place, anything. It has to submit. Heaven is subject, earth submits. Well, what is in earth? When we talk about knee, bowing, we limit our scope of thinking to just human beings.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Physical beings. And so therefore, when we think of things, it's usually confined to the realm of human possibilities. But everything is submitted. And the submission is as if it had knees, whether it had them or not. It literally meant to bend, to bow, or to submit to the power of Jesus. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying more than just people are going to bend down their knees. That means sickness has got to bow down to Jesus. That means cancer has got to bow down to Jesus. That means trouble has got to bow down to Jesus. That means heartache, heartbreak. It means everything that we deal with, that we encounter in the earth realm itself, is submitted unto the authority of Jesus Christ. That's why it's important for us to cast our cares upon him, because he's the only one who has the power to deal with our every issue. You're trying to carry something you can't handle when you can simply submit it to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, and he can handle what you cannot handle. You're around here trying to deal with some stuff that's breaking you apart, tearing you down, and making you, again, unable to handle life and enjoy and appreciate what God has blessed you with, because you've not learned to cause everything that caused you to hurt to be given over to Jesus so that it can submit to his authority. Your marriage ain't acting right. You need to submit it to Jesus.
God, I've done my part. My mate has not done his or her part. I'm submitting them to you because we're in a three-way triangle here. I'm talking about Christian marriages. Now, there are some people that get married. God ain't got nothing to do with it. He didn't join together. He ain't holding them together. He ain't got nothing to do with that mess. That's why the Bible talks about let us not be unequally yoked. And believer with unbeliever has more to do with just a sinner and a saint. So it's literally talking about everything in the earth realm. If you deal with it, then it's subject to Jesus. That ought to be a revelation to many of us here today. You know why you can't handle some problems? Because you don't have the power to handle them. But you have the person to handle them. And if you submit him, listen, there are just some things Jesus is not going to take from you. You're going to have to give it to him. I'm going to be through real quick because I can't deal with folks sitting up here who's supposed to know what I'm talking about, acting like they don't know what I'm talking about. I'm trying to help us understand, why are you fighting with something that you can't win? Why are you trying to answer something that you don't know? Give it to Jesus. And watch him do what is impossible. What is impossible to you is possible for him. And then when we move to the third part of things under the earth. Well, there are not many of us familiar with the things under the earth. But the few things we are familiar with, it's that too. It's hell. It's demons. It's devils. It's witches. It's warlocks. It's every evil spirit, every evil entity, every evil power, everything that's evil that is under the earth, all of that has to surrender to the name of Jesus. So in heaven is subject to Jesus. In earth it submits to Jesus. And under the heavens or the earth, it is surrendered to Jesus. It can't fight against Jesus. Devil thought he won on earth. And the Lord Jesus put him to an open shame. That's why the demons under the earth tremble at the name of Jesus. Because they know doomsday is coming soon. And every time they hear the name Jesus, they wonder if today is that day. And that's why they try to keep the people of God from using that name, because the least we use that name, the more those entities become empowered. You have no idea how you scare the... Well, it's under heaven, under earth. That bottom part, out of all of those, when you just say Jesus, 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 when you just call on the name, what you calling Jesus for? Because that's the only name that can do what I need to be done, Jesus. Devil has plotted and planned your demise this day. You don't know what the plans are, but Jesus does. And when you say Jesus, Jesus, demons become afraid to come close to put their plan in action, because when you call on that name Jesus and are connected with that name Jesus, then that demon has to surrender to that name Jesus. And that means all of the plans of the enemy are canceled out by the power in the name Jesus. You ought to just make it a habit going around during the day just calling the name Jesus. When it comes up in your spirit, ain't nothing wrong, Jesus. Something happens, a good thought, you think about where he's brought you from. Oh, Jesus. When you think about what you're going through, it can't nobody take you through but Jesus. When you deal with the enemy who's dealing with your mind, want to keep you in the dump and in the dungeon, you just call on the name Jesus, who is able to elevate you and to bring you above and beyond whatever the devil thinks he can do to you. You just use the name Jesus, and you will discover that breakthrough comes at that name of Jesus. Healing comes at that name Jesus. Deliverance comes at that name Jesus. Peace comes at that name. Joy comes at that name Jesus. Opportunity, prosperity, everything you need comes at the name Jesus. And so if heaven is subject to him, and earth submits to him, and hell surrenders to him, don't you think you ought to be using that name a whole lot more than you use it? Something about the name Jesus. If you sing about it, do you believe what you're singing? But he ain't even through. Verse 11 says, let at the name Jesus every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Amen, amen.
They bow down. That ought to be enough. But it's not. Because just to be subject, to submit, and to surrender, there may be those who don't know why you're subject, to whom you're subject. Don't know why you submit, to whom you submit. And don't know why you surrender, to whom you surrender. Now, it's all right. But when you consider that all of the imps and the evil spirits and all the rest of that, including Satan himself, is going to have to bow, and not just bow, but call Jesus' name. In other words, let me add insult to injury. I'm talking about to the ones who don't know him as Lord. Because Jesus is Lord, that literally means that he has the oversight, the authority, the power. He has the ability to reign over everything and everybody, including Satan. Including Satan. And Jesus is the last name Satan wants to speak. And when Satan and all of his imps and every person, man, woman, girl, and boy on earth, and every angel and elder, etc., in heaven who's subject to him, calls on that name Jesus, God sits back with a smile on his face, saying, that's my boy. That's my boy that they are subject to, who humbled himself, took on the form of human flesh, became a servant to the men that he would save, yet committed not one sin.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. www.themovementofchrist.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B